Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game.
Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts. Close my eyes and believe.
It's time to try defying gravity. I think I'll try defying gravity. Kiss me goodbye. I'm defying gravity, and you won't bring me down.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome back to the Gleeful Glee podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. Jen and I are back. Ed, thank you for holding up the fort for us last week. I hear you did a very good job.
Great.
Nothing?
Yeah. I hope you had a good trip. I didn't talk to you about that.
We did. Really briefly, Jennifer and I were gone. We apologize. We missed 2 weeks of shows just because one from just exhaustion and trying to get ready for the honeymoon. And then we had a week in Ireland that we enjoyed immensely. Ireland was incredible. We actually have an Irish listener whose name I don't remember. So I will exchanged some emails. But yes, Ireland was incredible. And I can tell you, Ed, I've told you before, but within an hour of listening to Irish radio while we were lost in Dublin, while I was driving on the left side of the road, which is terrifying, let me tell you. Within an hour of driving in Dublin, we heard Lady Gaga, Little Boots, and Pixie Lott. Pixie.
So like, that's some freaking... I guess I could say that word, can't I?
Sure,
listen,
you can.
I listen to pop stations here, and I'm just like... let's move to England. Are you cool with that?
Pixie Lott sells cell phones there. She's doing a cell phone campaign. But anyway, so we're here to talk about Glee. Two episodes that we missed, Wheels, and then the episode this week, which we will concentrate on mostly, which is Ballad. Got lots of emails of people saying Ballad is their favorite episode so far this season. I have to say Ballad is probably in my top two or three. That was a great, fun episode. Jennifer, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. I cried like a baby. I'm not afraid to say it.
I definitely cried at the end, yeah.
I was so moved throughout the whole thing. Well, we watched Wheels and then immediately followed up with Ballad. And the two episodes together were just... You can see that they're starting to really kind of get things to click. And I loved how it was really more balanced. It wasn't all about one person. And you got to see more about, all the different characters that we've been talking about for a while. And I just loved it. I loved every bit about it. So the last two episodes could be outside of maybe the pilot or the second episode. Those last two have been definitely in my top.
I would agree. It really does feel like they've figured out how to show all the characters without making it seem too rushed, mm-hmm. and have storylines that affect everyone without kind of being just kind of blankets that cover the entire cast. Ed, what did you think of Ballad, the episode?
I don't want to throw it out as a it isn't my favorite, but I think you guys were right. It's like the first one in a while that I was like, this is why we love the show. Like I always liked it. I always enjoy it. But Ballad was like really personified my favorite parts of Glee.
I'll agree with that a lot. In the last couple of days, Jennifer and I have been so stressed out, and obviously we're not even getting this until Saturday, so life has been pretty insane. I'd kind of made the comment, if somebody had asked me around episode 6 or 7 of Glee, hey, do you want to do a podcast about it? I probably wouldn't have been too enthusiastic about the concept, because at that point, the show wasn't really finding its stride. But I do think with these last two episodes, and then obviously calling back to the pilot in episode 2, those are just, that's just great television. And that's why we're all here. That's why we're, talking about the show. We all have our problems with it here and there. But at the end of the day, the easiest way to describe, I think, why... particularly Ballad was such a great episode is that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 downloadable tracks from that episode.
Oh, wow.
Like, right there. Like, that's why we watch this show. Mm-hmm. So, but before we get into too much of that, let's roll back some email. And let's talk about a little email. Wanted to thank everybody that emailed in. So apparently, Ed, you had said on the episode that we were not a part of that you'd ask for people to send song suggestions for songs they'd like to hear performed on Glee, which is a great idea. And we got lots of really cool suggestions from that. Listener Rachel, who I was just saying, I love listener Rachel. She suggested the Glee Club rehearsal song from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, the musical theater musical. And I Sing the Body Electric from the original Fame movie.
Oh, which that I adore. I would love, yeah.
Do you know that song, Ed?
No. I've never seen Fame. I know I'm horrible.
Well, you can check out the... you can check out the new one is kind of Fame.
Well,
it's not as good as the original movie, but it is much easier to watch.
I will see the original before I see the new one.
I would recommend it, yeah.
The new one's easier to watch. But yeah.
The only Fame that I actually watched was the reality show on NBC that was trying to be Idol.
Oh, God. Which
just not so well, but I found it entertaining.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. Harlem Lee one, I think is what you said.
Yeah, Harlem Lee, Shannon Beck's.
There you go.
Those are the only people I remember.
listener Michael had from North Carolina. He had suggested, Jennifer had thrown out I Know Him So Well from Chess as being mm-hmm. a fun song that somebody could do on the show. His idea was a Rachel Quinn duet of I Still Believe from Miss Saigon,
oh,
which
nice.
Is not a song I'm too familiar with.
Yeah.
Let's see, a couple more that we had here. Again, on the musical theater tip, Michael from Ontario had suggested Seasons of Love from Rent, which I think would be perfect on the show, would be awesome.
Yeah, it's a great ensemble song.
And by far my favorite, so for me, the winner is Alex from Davis, California, who had sent in my favorite ABBA song, Winner Takes It All. Which it would fit so well. He says he and his roommate Jill love ABBA. I'm sorry, Alex, you may be a man or a woman, so I apologize for that because I've gotten that wrong in the past. Alex and their roommate says they love ABBA, and we think it would be awesome for the love square between Puck, Rachel, Quinn, and Finn. Puck and Quinn could sing it. Rachel and Finn could sing it. Quinn and Finn could sing it. Even the two girls could sing it together.
That's true.
Winner There's takes it all from ABBA.
There's a lot of ways that one could be spun.
That would
That's
be cool.
awesome.
Do you did you come up with any new ideas for songs they should do on the show, Ed?
Something I just thought of literally like seconds ago while you were talking was Heaven on Their Minds with Kurt doing it. I don't know why, but it just seems like it could work.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work, but it is one of my top 10 favorite songs.
I love
songs.
That song, yes.
And then my friend Nicole, who's on the last episode, after we got done recording, she was like, I would love it if Tina and Mercedes did Breaking Dishes by Rihanna.
Like interesting. I don't. Girl
pop song.
Yeah. And then we got a couple of emails about the nameless piano player. He got a name in the episode Ballad. His name is Brad, apparently, on the show. And apparently he's a music director or a music coordinator on the show. And now I'm trying to figure out what his name was. Let's see.
Oh, what the actor's name is?
Yeah. We got a couple emails from people who had suggested or who had actually found his name. And now
cool.
I am trying to find. There
the
we go.
Yep.
His name is Brad Ellis.
Oh, so he really is Brad.
Yeah, so his name really is Brad, and that's his character name on the show. He was named by Lea Michele. Yeah. Rachel Berry had said, hey, Brad, cue that song up. His name is Brad Ellis.
For Ballad. Yep.
Yeah, he's an American composer, musical director, orchestrator, and jazz pianist. Mm-hmm. And he's probably most visible as the quiet teacher piano accompanist from the high school kids on Glee, the Fox television show. And he is a part of Ryan Murphy's musical production team on the show.
Wow.
He's worked on several other TV shows, including Gilmore Girls, Close to Home, DeLovely, and the DVD special features for Beauty and the Beast.
Very cool.
So that is from Wikipedia.
And as you point, when we were watching it, Josh mentioned, he's like, you know, for a guy that has no lines, he says a lot.
Yeah.
And it's true. Uh-huh. I love watching his face.
His eyes are very expressive.
Just watching him watch everybody be crazy. It's awesome.
So let's roll it back a little bit to talk about last week's episode, which was Wheels. We had a couple great songs from Wheels. Particularly, you had wanted to talk about Proud Mary, Ed, which was how they finished out the episode. And I guess you had said you forgot to talk about it last week.
I think I'll mention it because, like, I'm not going to say it wasn't important, but it was just such a footnote to a very dense episode.
So yeah, it did kind of get tacked on the end.
Oh. Oh, no.
They're okay. It's only
again.
One siren.
Just kidding.
They found us.
Let's take a list of Proud Mary. This is from the end of the episode where they did a dance number on wheelchairs, which was kind of fun. Here's a bit of Proud Mary with Archie and Mercedes on lead vocals.
Good job in the city. Working for the men every night and day. And I never lost one minute. And I was worrying about the way that things might have been. Big wheel keep on turning. Ooh, the Proud Mary keep on burning. And we're rolling, yeah. Rolling on a river.
Rolling on a river.
Said we're
So, what did you think of that number, Ed? I thought that was a lot of fun.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I love that song, like, with a passion. I have been known to spontaneously sing that song. What did you think about it overall?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, first of all, it was just really cool to see them all maneuver the wheelchairs and choreograph this number to them. But I just thought it was really great to see more Artie and to have him have more of a lead on a song. It was really great. And it is. It's an infectious song. You can't sit still when you listen to the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a great song, and I have to agree. I love Artie as a character. And you know, one of the reasons that we love the show is that so many of the supporting characters are really, I mean, they're not entirely fleshed out. Like, they could be more complicated, but they're also fun. And Artie is just one of those characters that as soon as he starts talking, I get kind of excited. And we got a little bit about his backstory of how he ended up in the wheelchair from a car accident. And we got a relationship between him and Tina, which was kind of unexpected.
Yeah, but I was kind of, you know, it sort of culminated and then ended so quickly and then wasn't brought up or even hinted at the next week. So that kind of bummed me out.
That and during this Proud Mary number, there was none of the, like, usual static.
Yeah, there was none of that, like, crazy, you know, shifty eye looks or anything like that. They were just back to normal again.
Yeah. And I was, I think, the last person on our show to pick up on Tina's stuttering, which apparently we found out was something that she was faking because she was shy and trying to disappear. Ed, what did you think about Tina's stuttering turning out to be fake?
I'm not mad at Tina so much because I understand it's difficult sometimes with things. I'm more so mad at Artie for being so not understanding. Like, I understand where he's coming from, but he's not being understanding.
Well, I mean, he kept talking about every time they were together, he would bring up the fact that he acknowledged and understood her stuttering and that, you know, kept saying, you know, it's great that when you're around other people and you have a little bit more confidence, it goes away. And he seemed to really hang a lot of their connection on that. And so I understand him being hurt and shocked by it, but like not to the point to just shut her out completely. So, and then for there to be no friction whatsoever afterwards, it was just, you know, I just want to know what happened.
Yeah, it definitely seemed kind of dropped off. It kind of fell on the wayside to other plot lines in that particular episode. The other big song from that episode was Artie's version of Dancing With Myself. And, of course, Defying Gravity, which we opened the episode with, and we will close with the other version. Here's a bit of Dancing With Myself, sung by the character Artie.
In a crowded, lonely night, well, I waited too long for my love vibration, and I'm dancing with myself. I'm dancing with myself. I'm dancing with myself. Well, there's nothing to lose and there's nothing to prove, and I'll be dancing with myself. If I looked all over the world and there's every type of girl, but your empty eyes seem to pass me by and leave me dancing with myself. So let's sink another drink, 'cause it'll give me time to think. If I had the chance, I'd ask the world to dance, and I'm dancing with myself. Oh, dancing with myself. Oh, dancing.
Have we talked about the actor who plays Artie on the show before? He was formerly a pop singer in a boy band entitled NLT.
Wow. I've never heard of NLT.
Trying to remember what they stood for. NLT, abbreviated from Not Like Them, was an American boy group consisting of a whole bunch of people. and apparently they released an R&B-influenced cover of the Christmas carol Silent Night.
Ooh.
There you go.
That could be my new favorite Christmas song.
They opened for the Pussycat Dolls in April 2007.
Wow, that's fairly recent.
Yeah. He also was in an episode of The Office where they locked him in the conference room. I think a listener sent that clip to us, so thank you very much for that.
Oh, wow. But it was so funny because Josh went to Google Kevin McHale, which is the Artie's, you know, so name. And I was like, oh no, it's going to come up with the Celtics basketball player, Kevin McHale. And I'm sorry, Ed, you were starting to say something?
I was just going to say, from the episode Wheels, the manager of the restaurant that Finn gets a job in.
Yes, he's in the guild.
Yes, I had this huge freak out. I was like, why do I know him? Why do I know him? Do I know him from Glee? Do I know him from Lost? What do I know him from? I was so mad. Someone said the guild, and I was like, oh my god,
that's where he's from.
Yeah, he's from the guild, and then the actors from the guild have been popping up in all kinds of random stuff lately. But so that was pretty much it for Wheels. We also had the plot line of Sue Sylvester. We found out that she had an elder sister that was in a hospital. That was disabled, and that was really nice to see kind of another side of Sue.
Yeah.
And
a human side without an angle.
I know. It was like a Gleenomenon. Crying. I need to coin a new catchphrase. OM Glee is too popular.
You're already over OM Glee?
I'm not over it, but I mean, like, you can't, like, you're only as good as your next catchphrase. So, Gleenomenon. I don't know if it's as good, but it's something.
I'm gonna tattoo that on my arm. You're only as good as your next catchphrase. here, Jennifer, you want to feel really old?
Go ahead and
look at when Kevin McHale was born and what age that makes him.
Yes, all right, he's 21.
Oh god,
so am I.
From Plano, Texas. yes, Ed, you're obviously making us feel very old now too. So
I don't feel old. Oh my god!
I'd search Kevin McHale on Wikipedia, and then I got the
basketball player.
Yeah.
Basketball player. Boston Celtics, 1980s.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The other big plot line from that episode was obviously the Quinn Finn Puck continuing love triangle, which is kind of a good way to take us into the next episode entitled.
One second with Wheels. Okay, this is something I was so mad I didn't mention. Right after the wheelchair fight, right at the wheelchair fight when Mr. Shu breaks it up. When Puck said, "I'm just really concerned about the bake sale," I died. Like, and I can't believe I didn't mention it. I was like, why am I so remiss?
That was the whole wheelchair and the bake sale thing. That was pretty funny.
There have just been a lot of great little throwaway lines. I mean, we just kept rewinding it because we're like, what did she say? What did he say?
Exactly. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about Ballad. The whole concept being that Mr. Schuster assigns them to break up into groups and sing ballads to one another. Ballad being, how did you describe it? It was a song that tells a story.
And an expressive emotion.
A song that emits an emotion that you can't tell any other way or something like that.
Yeah, it was a really touching episode. I mean, it was an episode where we really did get to get kind of into the internals of the characters. We really got to figure out, you know, kind of why they're there and what their motivations are. So that was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess we could start right off the top with a bit of Endless Love, the duet between Mr. Schuster and Rachel Berry. This was incredibly uncomfortable for me to watch. But the moments of voiceover during the song were absolutely priceless.
Oh, that was the best part.
Kurt's quote was, "I could totally sing this song with Finn, but screw him if he thinks he's taking the Diana Ross part from me." So yeah, let's take a listen to Endless Love. This is Mr. Schuster and Rachel Berry, or Leah Michelle and Matthew Morrison. And here we go. Oh, where's my mouse? There's my mouse.
I want to share all my love with you. No one else will do. Your eyes, they tell me how much you care. Oh, yeah. You will always be my endless love.
Peebo Bryson, where have you gone?
Hmm.
Somebody, one of the listeners is going to be like, he sings at the dinner theater down the street.
Sure, he's probably done other soundtracks that we just haven't seen the movie of.
There you go. Do you know this song, Ed, or is this after your time?
Endless Love?
Yes. Or before your time.
I do know it, but only from intense idol watching, and I've heard it performed by numerous people.
See, and to show kind of the generational gap, I actually know it more from Happy Gilmore.
Okay, and I actually know it from the movie Endless Love. Let's move on. You know, the one with Brooke Shields. I don't think my parents wanted me to see this movie because it was a Brooke Shields coming-of-age movie.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was.
Oh, that's going on the Netflix queue. So so Leah Michelle, so Rachel Berry and Mr. Schuster. Rachel Berry becomes obsessed with Mr. Schuster. This turns out to be the latest in a long string of his students having crushes on him, particularly Sue Pepper, which is awesome.
Wow. Susie Pepper.
Susie Pepper. What did you think of Susie Pepper, Ed?
Susie Pepper was, I thought she was, I still talk about her. Like, I always make references to her because, like, I got some really hot sauce last night, and I was like, this is like Susie Pepper.
I was so confused because the way he told the story, I thought that Susie probably wasn't in high school anymore.
Yeah, but she was gone. She was in a medically induced coma for several days, at least. So,
I kind of liked in my head the way I interpreted it was that Susie actually just came back to campus to screw with Rachel.
I think she was a freshman and now she's a senior.
Yeah, but I also like the mental image of Susie Pepper being like somewhere miles away and just being like, someone's in love with the teacher. I have to go stop that.
That would be insane. That'd be insane.
Yeah, because ingesting the world's hottest pepper because the
that
teacher
is logical in that's comparison.
Love makes you do crazy things, Josh.
After 2 years of intense psychotherapy.
She was pretty great.
It was a really cool character. go ahead.
Susie Peppers, played by the Nicole, told this. She was dating someone in Everwood, one of the main characters in Everwood.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Where. And I was like, oh my god,
I did not recognize her. So yes, the plot line of Rachel and Mr. Schuster led to Rachel showing up randomly at his home, and then Terry sending Rachel to do chores around the apartment
and to cook dinner and so forth.
And her rationalization was, for years I've had to put up with these high school girls falling in love with you. Now I'm going to get something out of it. You must have loved Terry in that moment, Ed.
I've gotten a lot of email suggesting that I should have loved Terry this most recent episode. It's not evil with the same sense of grandeur. It's just evil. Like it needs to be like grandy or something. I don't know. It's not. I don't know. Great, but it's not amazing.
Well, I understand, because this one, the opportunity came to her, so she just took advantage of the situation.
Yeah,
it's not like she went out of her way to plot, you know? she didn't have a big, evil Terry scheme that she was hatching. This is something that just sort of like, oh, well, cool, you can take care of this for me.
She was more of an opportunist in this particular situation.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't really evil, it was just meh. Yeah.
But, oh, no, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the infatuation with Rachel also led to a great scene with Will, Emma, and Rachel.
Yes, you know, Will went to Emma and said, what should I do? And Emma's quote was, let's see, it's on the site here. If we were to rank crushable teachers in this school, you'd be number one with a bullet. And then she kind of gets embarrassed.
Number one with a bullet, like the Fall Out Boy song? Is that a reference to something else?
I don't know.
That's just a really common saying, yeah. I think.
Okay, I've never heard. Okay, the first time I heard that phrase was FOB, so maybe I'm just young.
FLB. Well, so she gave Will the idea to sing a song to Rachel to tell her that she did not want to to tell Rachel that he did not want to be with her through the medium of song, and he did a mashup of Don't Stand So Close to Me and Young Girl Get Out of My Mind. Let's go ahead and give a listen to this. This was not my favorite song from the episode. It's a little awkward, but I do love Matthew Morrison's delivery on it. He's so committed to this one. So here's a mashup of Don't Stand So Close to Me and Young Girl performed by Matthew Morrison.
So badly knows what she wants to be. With all the charms of a woman, you've kept the secret of your youth. Bookmark it, she's so close now. This girl is half his age. Don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. Young girl, you're out of your mind. Your love for me is way out of line. Better run, girl, you're much too young, girl. Temptation, frustration.
Yeah, we had an emailer who had even pointed out, you know, he has some great range on this song. I was actually pretty impressed by his range on it. So I've told you my Kirby Puckett and the Union Gap story, but I don't know that Ed's ever heard it.
So I don't know what you're talking about, but
Kirby Puckett is this guy who used, is it Kirby? It's Kirby Puckett. He used to sing with a band called the Union Gap. They were Kirby Puckett and the Union Gap, and they recorded Young Girl Get Out of My Mind. They were the guys that wrote and recorded it back in the day. And this is like way past their prime. My dad, when I was in high school, I was probably a freshman in high school, my dad says, come on, Josh, we're getting out of the house. And he took me to the fair, and the act at the fair that night was Kirby Puckett and the Union Gap. Or I think it was just Kirby Puckett.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty much, Kirby Puckett has one song. He has Young Girl Get Out of My Mind, and that's pretty much it. He performed it as the opening song, the closing song, and in the encore. And
wow.
in between, he did like, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. And I fought the law and the law won. It was pretty much covers, except for that one song. And then I found out in college that he was childhood best friends with my film teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, totally useless knowledge you didn't need to know. So what did you guys think of that particular performance from Mr. Schuster? Ed?
The only thing that was really particularly great about it is the song wasn't particularly special, but Emma's facial response and Rachel's interpretation of it, like, I'm young, it's hard for you to stand close to me. So those two made, even though the song was kind of like meh, it made it worth it.
I absolutely agree. I was dying watching the two of them. And you can see in his face, he's starting to realize that this whole plan has the negative effect.
But instead of trying to like reinterpret his approach or anything, he just tries to sing it harder. Like, that's my favorite part, is once he realizes that this is going south, his thing is, I'm just going to make it bigger and then they'll figure it out. I totally agree with both of you. I think that the song is kind of meh. I can't believe I just said that. The song is kind of whatever. But God, I mean, yeah, it was totally made by that reaction. I mean, when they like started like cupping their hands up by their chest and be like, woo, like it was just so good. And then when he asked at the end, after Rachel gave her interpretation, and he said, Emma, what do you have an interpretation that might be different? And she just said, you're a really good performer.
That was awesome. They were so cute. And I was like, I couldn't believe like how the girls would like look at each other and still smile. Like even they were just so caught up in the moment. They didn't even acknowledge that, you know, this could be wrong.
There was a flash watching that where I thought, I got a sense almost that it crossed the line from these two actresses just being like two 14-year-old girls that are getting sung a crazy song by a cute guy.
Yeah.
Just being like, this is awesome.
It was great.
So in response to that, of course, Rachel decided to sing Crush for Mr. Schuster. Crush, the song by Jennifer Page, which came out when I was in college and got way overplayed on the radio. But here's a clip of Crush. They only played about 5 seconds of it in the episode.
Yeah, he pulled the plug, yeah.
She barely got into the hook. So here's a bit of Leah Michelle performing Crush, originally recorded by Jennifer Page.
See you blowing me a kiss. It doesn't take a scientist to understand what's going on, baby. If you see something in my eye, let's not overanalyze. Don't go too deep with it, baby.
So I will continue with Josh Brunell's totally useless knowledge. Jennifer Page's brother married the cousin of Ashley Beam.
Who is actually somebody we know, that anybody should know who that is.
I think that's right. Ashley's husband Chris listens, and he's probably listening right now going, you're totally wrong. But it was something like that.
Everybody's going to be Googling Ashley Beam right now, like, oh, who's she?
Well, you should Google Ashley Beam, because she's an incredible wedding photographer.
She is. Oh, and she's a new mom.
And she's a gorgeous new mom. And Chris is one of my close friends. So Jennifer Page, Ed, what did you think of, what did you think of the recorded version of Crush?
Well, this is the first time I'm hearing it, and honestly, I don't even know this song. I'm not gonna lie. Does that make me vocal? I don't know.
To use your term, it's a little meh. This song is kind of like, it served its purpose in the show.
Because I coined the word meh. Yes, it's mine. It's like the Spider game.
In my generation, we used hella. In Jennifer's...
Wicked.
Yeah, or no, where you're from, Wicked.
Wicked Pissa.
I'm trying to think. What did they say in Heathers? Fuck me gently with a chainsaw?
Nice.
Oh, there was a side note, too. I remember getting an email, like several emails about, this is about Wheels again, which I keep referring to, because apparently I did a atrocious job of actually covering. Brittany was people's favorite character. A few people's favorite characters in that episode, because she was friends with the girl Becky, who became the cheerleader.
Yep.
And Santana was like, "You're the right Brittany." And I was like, "Oh my god, I love Brittany too."
Honestly, I've totally been just waiting for an opportune moment to bring that up. I love Brittany.
Oh my god, hers was my favorite quote from this week's episode.
When he said ballad.
When he said ballad, and she's like, a duck. And then when they were drawing the names from the hat, she looks over at Santana and she goes, "I think the duck's in the hat." And then it cuts to commercial. It was awesome. Can you
explain that to me? Because I don't. What do you mean? Well,
when he said ballad, he said ballad. Who knows what this word means? And she said, "It's a male duck," which is mallard, right?
Exactly.
And then then when she went to that, yeah. Brittany was on. Like, I don't know if she's even talked before these last two episodes, but she has.
She's had one or two lines.
She had her first speaking line that I recall during the football episode of Glee.
Right, when she was rehearsing with Kurt, and she tells his dad, we're rehearsing, the football team or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another kind of fun thing about the show, is that even the characters like Brittany are kind of starting to take shape. And Santana took shape a couple weeks ago.
I love Santana. I love Brittany. And I also love, side note, that when Tina pulled out from the hat, it said the actual card said
other Asian.
I know. I'm like,
oh my god.
You too, Mr. Schuster? Come on.
Oh, that was awesome. Did it actually say that? I just thought maybe she read it like
that.
No,
she wouldn't just say that.
No. No, she totally read the paper. It was, huh?
Oh, that's funny.
We
got an email about from Lily in Australia. She emailed us to let us know that according to episode 4, the two guys that dance and are in the football club are called Matt Rutherford and Mike Chang.
Okay. Well, we caught that one of them was Matt, because Matt had that thing in his ear, and that's why...
He had a spider in his ear.
So that's why Rachel had a rehearse with Mr. Schuster.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was awesome. Mr. Schuster, who, as soon as he pulled out that piece of paper that said Rachel, he went, oh, God. Or no, when she just said, I guess...
No, when he did process of elimination, it was like, yes, maybe you should wait for Matt to come back
and...
That was awesome. The whole Mr. Schuster, Rachel Berry, like usually in a TV show, when a character just has a random crush on another character that only lasts one episode, kind of like the Rachel Berry Puck relationship.
No, but it only lasts. Puckleberry still exists in my heart.
Puckleberry.
Oh my god. That's awesome.
Anyway, do I even need to ask Edward? Is it going to be Jacob or Edward? What's it going to be?
Don't give me that franchise.
Oh my god. If I hadn't seen that commercial, I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Awesome.
No, I don't respect it. I will go see it at some point, but I don't respect it.
We don't want to alienate our Twilight loving listeners, so let's just move on.
Okay, maybe respect is a very harsh term.
So anyway,
Oh, should I just stop? I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. Let's just stop.
Let's go ahead and move on, and we'll talk about the plot line of the continuing love triangle of Puck and Finn and Quinn. So obviously the big revelation in this episode, or not really revelation, but the big turn in this episode was that everyone's parents found out. And it started, of course, with Puck's mother finding out when she saw him singing to a sonogram. Finn's mother finding out when she saw him singing to a sonogram. And I believe her line was, "Why are you singing to a sonogram?" Which I think if you wrote that line and read it back, I'm thinking that that just sounded hilarious when you put it on paper. Because not very often you get to hear that. The song he performed to the sonogram, which was suggested by Kurt, was The Pretenders' "I'll Stand By You." Kurt said, it's a power ballad, so it's right in your wheelhouse or something like that.
Yeah. And it's popular, so you'll know it.
Here's a bit of Finn singing "I'll Stand By You" by The Pretenders. I always hear the song and go, who does that? I always forget that it's a Pretenders song. So here we go. "I'll Stand By You" by The Pretenders.
Don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through.
'cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do. Nothing you confess could make me love you less. I'll stand by you, I'll stand by you. Won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you. So, if you're mad, get mad. Don't hold it all inside. Come on and talk to me now. Hey, what you got to hide? Crossroads, don't know which path to choose. Let me come along, 'cause even if you're wrong, I'll stand by you.
So Jennifer, as the biggest Pretenders fan I know, and someone who I find prefers the rockier, punkier side of the Pretenders, and who doesn't, quite frankly?
Come on, Mystery Achiever is one of their best songs ever.
And you know, I think we could all go a life without hearing another Brass in Pocket. But how does I Stand By You, or I'll Stand By You, stack up on the Pretenders' long, storied career?
It's a really pretty song. I don't know. I mean, I was a fan of their early stuff, and I'm very familiar with their more recent stuff. But because I'm sure there's actual fans out there who would argue this point, but I think it's really pretty. I mean, I think it's just such a pretty, nice sentiment song that, you know, it's a lot softer than anything they do, but you kind of forgive them of that because it is a nice song.
It's a pretty good
song. I mean,
song.
That's where I stand on it, so.
So, Ed, back to the show. Now, what did you think of the continuing love triangle this episode? You know, specifically the love triangle. We'll talk about kind of the notifying the parents later, but this seemed to be the moment where Finn really said, I'm in this pregnancy and you can't let me out. You know, how does that seem to be developing for you?
I prefer to think of it as a love pentagon, first off.
Wait, of that would be five sides. Who's the fourth and fifth side?
Rachel and Puck. And Kurt. And
oh, you're including Kurt? Oh, that's a good... Well, yeah, I guess Kurt is a valid side.
Kurt's
to the...
Valid. He belongs in the love. Well, see, then, well, we can't, like, then just Mr. Shoe count? That's a...
No,
I don't know.
No. He's not a valid pretender.
That's a passing
let's count it to five.
Thing. Yeah.
Guys, I mean, with anyone. I think you have to be in love with someone to be a part of the exclusive group. Let's just call it that. I really love it. I know it's going to explode, and I'm just like, it's like a ticking bomb. And you're like, I know it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. You don't know when it's gonna happen. You don't know who starts the fire.
Yeah.
But apparently not Mercedes. I was, I got into a heated discussion between Julia and Nicole and myself about whether Mercedes, being both Rachel, Quinn's, Puck's, and Finn's friend, who is she? Like, is it her responsibility to tell Finn? Because, like, yeah, or is it not her responsibility? Like, because now that she knows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That is an interesting point. I mean, but she did have a really interesting reaction,
yeah,
which was just like, you know what, I don't, you know, it doesn't matter if you're the biological father, you're not the father that Quinn shows.
Right. Yeah, she was really definitive about that and just immediately just called it. I was really surprised, but
yeah, I was surprised by that too.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel.
It was interesting. I mean, I don't know. I don't feel that Mercedes is kind of betraying anyone or that she has any kind of a responsibility to play, you know, to play on what she knows. But it was really interesting to get the reaction that she had. It wasn't quite what I would have, what I would have expected.
But you came to it so quickly. I mean, that was the thing that really kind of surprised me. But then I was thinking later, I'm like, well, if she's not going to tell, how is this going to come out? And I'm like, well, maybe she tells Kurt because she's really close with Kurt. And then maybe Kurt, you know, figures this is his way in or something.
Well, see, the argument that Julia, she was the biggest proponent of Mercedes not telling anyone. Her biggest argument was that she, like her, like she as a female, like knows that Quinn chose Finn. And so it's her responsibility to not break the decision that was made. Because like, it's like, obviously Quinn wants Finn to be the father figure, apparently. Mm-hmm. So who is Mercedes to judge that just because of who's the father?
Yeah, but I mean, but Quinn is obviously showing signs of being unsure of her decision.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We definitely have been getting some odd exchanges between Quinn and Puck.
Yeah, I mean, especially last episode with the when they were making the cupcakes and they had a playful little food fight. You know, the fact that he came forward with money, albeit $18. He was, you know, and he made a really good point himself. He's like, people think I'm a slacker because I think school is a joke, but when I'm committed to something, I'm committed 100%.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, something that she might start to realize is, you know, she might need somebody a little bit stronger. I mean, Finn is cute and sweet and has a good heart, but he's not the strongest person. That might come out later, but right now we just haven't seen him really step up and be that strong guy.
And he's dumb as a box of hammers.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think, Ed? Do you think that Quinn has feelings for Puck?
I do believe that she does, but I think that she wants to do what she thinks is the right thing in her mind. Although I'm so confused because, like, she's not even, well, supposedly at this moment, she's not even keeping the baby. It just confuses me. I'm like,
yeah, there's definitely does seem to be the whole I'm going to give the baby to Terry thing has kind of been forgotten for the last couple of episodes, and almost to the point where, like, Quinn doesn't seem to be acting in the way, like, in any kind of manner that she plans on giving this baby up.
Maybe she's having second thoughts, which...
Oh,
yeah, and I'm fine
with me because I want Terry. Just isn't evil enough. She needs to be broken.
Well, the thing is, I'm like, okay, Terry's crazy. We know that, and she's doing everything she can to still keep up the illusion of being pregnant. I'm surprised she's not more involved with Quinn. Like, I'm really surprised that she hasn't had more interaction with her, following up with her, and so forth, making sure
she's still afraid that it'll become obvious. You know what I'm saying? I think
it's also a 43 minute show.
I know it's hard,
but. I think if I was Terry, I think my best move would be starting directing, like, pushing Rachel towards Finn, because if Finn leaves the picture, then she can't take care of the baby by herself, so she'll have to give it up. So if I was Terry, I would be focusing my efforts on Rachel.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, I had one other thing that kind of made me curious. Quinn keeps saying that, you know, she can't be saddled with the kid. She's going to be stuck in this nowhere town. And you look at the home life that she has, you know, albeit a little dysfunctional. Mom and dad seem to like to drink and have a very weird relationship. But she's from an affluent family. She has a nice home. It's like, it seems kind of funny that she feels like she could ever be trapped in that. Like, she would never have the means to somehow go out and do something more.
That is an odd statement. Yeah, you have a really
good
point.
But maybe she predicted the demise of their relationship because of it, which would, in a sense, get her out of means and force her to stay.
Well, you guys did touch on the fact that Quinn's parents did find out, and they found out via Finn singing "You're Having My Baby" at the dinner table, which one would not say was probably the best move he could have done. But let's go ahead and take a listen to "You're Having My Baby" as performed by Finn on the show. I like this song, but it's a bit cheesy. I don't know. here it is.
You're having my baby. Oh, what a lovely way of saying how much you love me. You're having my baby. Oh, what a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it. Your face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes. I'm happy you know it. That you're having my baby. You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you. You're having my baby. You're a woman in love, and I love what's going through you. The need inside you, I see it showing. Oh, the seed inside you, baby, do you feel it growing? Are you happy you know it? That you're having my baby. You're the woman.
So You're Having My Baby was written and recorded by Canadian popular music singer Paul Anka.
Nice.
I had no idea. I would have thought somebody more like, who's the guy that sings?
Benny Mardones?
Who's that?
Oh, that other song that everybody thinks is Hall & Oates. Forget it.
Oh, I was thinking of the guy, the two guys, John Ford Coley is one of them. The guys that sing I Really Want to See You Tonight. Really want to see you tonight,
yeah.
Which could be a funny show on Glee. One of the great things about Glee is they're almost any song kind of works in the right plot line, and they've shown that they'll do pretty much any song.
I think that's fantastic.
They really have no rules. So yes, they did talk to Quinn's parents, and Quinn's parents find out they kicked Quinn out of the house, which was kind of crazy. That was really shocking. And then they went to go live with Finn's mother. And that was a really painful scene. Like, one of the heavier scenes on the show so far was watching Quinn's father kick them out of the house.
Oh, yeah. Watching her beg him for a hug and him just turning his back. That was painful.
And then apparently making them pack in 15 minutes and setting the kitchen timer.
Yeah. But... just to go back to it, Finn's mom is awesome.
Yeah.
The way that she comforted him and tried to hold herself together when she was starting to realize what was happening and not freak out when she found out that he got Quinn pregnant, I thought that was just so amazing. She just seems like an incredible woman.
Honestly, I was struck by, on a show that's mainly... I mean, the acting does tend to be a bit over the top, and it's more of a comedy show, but that was an extremely well-played moment.
Yeah.
I mean, from an actor's perspective, that moment between the two of them is one of Finn's better moments on the show so far, and his mother, who we've only seen a couple times, but that was just an extremely well-acted moment. I was really impressed.
Yeah.
And really touched by that.
Yeah, I fell in love with her at that moment. I was like, that's so great.
You couldn't not tear up a little bit at the end of this one.
Oh, I was crying throughout it, but I think it was because, you know, the emotion from the last one just carried out to this one as well.
Did you get any tears out of you on this one, Ed?
For how much I cry, I actually didn't. Well, that's a lie. I did cry. I did cry when they were throwing out of the house, and I was like, oh, it's poor. But then I just had a sudden flash of, I was like, what? Like, then I just realized who that father is also, that I know him from. He was also, I think, the father of Logan Huntsberger on Gilmore Girls. And I was like, why? He is so good at playing a mean father. So I was like, that... he's done it before.
Well, his name is Greg Henry, and he pretty much plays
despicable people.
Despicable people. I was trying to find a word that was more Glee friendly. He kind of plays evil people on everything he does.
And he does it so well. I actually have never seen Gilmore Girls, but I know plenty of people who have and do love
you
it.
Oh my god, I have all 7 DVDs. I'll send them to
you. My mom has them too.
Yes, her mother's obsessed with it.
She is. She does love
it. That show is amazing. And, side note, Amy Sherman-Palladino is in works for a movie to close up the series because she never got, because she didn't write the seventh season, so she never got to end it the way she wanted to end it. Oh. So
I heard that. I did hear that it was sort of an abrupt ending, and it was a very uncertain ending. So, well, that's good. I'll have to pass it along to my mom. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this was, again, I think the episodes that I react mostly to, and via the email, you know, the episodes that people seem to react mostly over the emails are the ones that have these more intense emotional moments. And this was, I mean, as far as intense emotional moments go on this show, that was a pretty impressive thing, them coming. And then the rest of the Glee Club got together to perform a song for them to show their support. They performed Lean On Me, and here's a bit of Lean On Me. You know I love me some Bill Withers. And this is just a great song. So here is Lean On Me from the episode Ballad.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
It's honestly, given the context that song has kind of acquired in my life, it's hard for me to get through that song without tearing up a little bit anytime. But it was just really well done, and done in a very genuine way. Like, I really enjoyed it. We got a couple emails of people saying it was one of their best performances on the show so far. And yeah, just for me, that was really, I don't know, it just felt right. It's kind of like what I needed in that moment, and it was fantastic.
I think it was like a big hug for us as well as it was yeah. for Quinn and Finn. It was kind of like everybody reassuring, it's going to be okay. Yeah. It was really, it was a great way to end the show.
You guys had a much different reaction to it than I did. I just felt like, I know it should have felt like all the things you said, but for me personally, it felt almost flat. Not as reassuring as I would like it to be, and really? It wasn't emotional. It was just the keep holding on when Finn was holding Rachel and Quinn's hand made me want to cry more than this. So
the keep holding on was the other moment in the show where I really teared up. That was really great too.
Now, did you think it wasn't sincere, or just didn't think it was
maybe
needed?
I'm trying to think of what my issue was. I don't feel like it was the right song for this instance. I feel like, I don't know what song would be best. It wasn't executed in a way that made me like, that I was like, lean on me when you're not strong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Oh no, that's cool. I'm just curious. I wasn't asking you to, you know, argue with you, but I'm just curious. I mean, again, we watched two really great episodes in a row, and I was kind of emotional, so at that point I was like, oh, I was already sold. So I'm just, you know, I was just curious.
It was very they were two very good episodes to watch back to back. You know, previously when we watched two episodes back to back, I had trouble remembering what plot was in which episode. But this particular one, I didn't really have that problem. You know, this is one of the few shows that I can watch two episodes back to back, and each episode tends to take on its own flavor. And you can even look at the music and kind of see that the different episodes tend to take on their own timbre and things feel a little different. You know, it's like you'd have to shoot me before I'd sit and watch two episodes of Nip Tuck back to back. It's just every episode is the same after a while. And God, I can't wait for that show to end so I can stop watching it. But it is. I mean, it's a great show in that way. We did have an iTunes reviewer who'd said all they do is sit around and gush about how great the show is. And honestly, I've had problems with episodes in the past, and I have no problem being vocal on the show about my problems with previous episodes and some of the song choices and some of the acting and the performances, but these two episodes I struggled to find a problem with. Like, these were two episodes that I just really enjoyed front to back and was happy. You know, they just left me feeling good. So it was a great way to come back to Glee after the 2 week break. So I guess that's pretty much it. Does anybody else have anything about Ballad or Wheels to bring up?
Yes, one quick thing. When Kurt says makes you just want to quit girls altogether, I was like, you inspire hope, Kurt. You inspire hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt was pretty cute in trying to subtly convince Finn to try him on.
Oh, and another parent who I think is great is Kurt's dad.
Oh God, I love Matt Malloy on the show.
He's awesome, and I've always liked that actor. Not really cared for some of the stuff he's done, but just he's always been this, you know, kind of lovable goof. And
didn't like him on Guts.
Never saw that.
Guts was, I think it was his first acting or first television gig. He was the host of Guts, which was American Gladiators for kids.
Okay.
And the gladiators helped the kids. That was the twist.
No, honestly, the first time I ever saw him was in person. He was introducing Buffalo Tom.
That's right.
At the Middle East in Cambridge, and he just, I don't know. Like, he said he was in stuff, and I just didn't know he was, but then I saw him on that Yester show. So, anyhow.
Yes, he was on Yester.
Kurt's dad is great.
So, there was a lot of talk on the local news about the actress who joined the cheerleading squad, whose name I'm unable to find here. Lauren Potter.
Are you talking about her, the character Becky?
Yes, the character was Becky. The actress's name is Lauren Potter. Apparently, she's a local girl, and she was all over the news interviewing her, you know, the local news interviewing her and saying, oh, you know, local girl shows up on Glee, and they were pretty excited about that. So that was funny.
Yeah.
Hold on. You get excited about local people in that area being on TV. Like, I just want to...
Okay.
Yes, real people.
Me personally, it's not a real big exciting. It's not a thing to be all that excited about. But I do see that a lot. You know, I'm sure where you're from, like, that's a big thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be a big deal. But I'm saying from where you are, like, that'd be like you'd have like a story like every day.
Well, yeah, but most people who live here, where we live in Los Angeles, most people aren't from here.
Yeah, and they're
that
obviously
is kind of the difference.
And they're. You know, they're trying to make this their thing. So yes. I don't know. I mean, maybe she's going to do other stuff. That would be awesome. But we missed it. Yeah.
So, Ed, do you want to thank some of the iTunes reviewers?
Of course. Gleamorous, M. M. Thomas, Gleek Mickey, Glee Lover, Dr. Mama, K.R. Locke, La 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 La, and Coco Liner. Thank you so much for your reviews. Please review us if you haven't. And every so often I scroll around different country pages. So if you're anywhere, I will eventually get to you because I'm always exploring iTunes. So
and definitely email us if you have some song ideas that you'd like to see on Glee, see performed on Glee. We'd love to discuss what your ideas might be. Oh, hello, Marcel. Marcel has an idea.
He has an idea.
Yep.
What is Marcel?
What does he
like?
Say? I can't. He's not
Stop
being
holding
very loud.
Me.
Yes, he's saying, "Don't hold me like that."
I feel like I don't know. I want see. I'm currently obsessed with Lady Gaga, so I think if a side note,
currently?
Maybe suggest the best Lady Gaga song and what the scenario could be used in Glee.
Okay,
it's gonna happen. So
that's really the kind of like that's what makes the conversation interesting is what's the scenario by which the song would come about. So yeah, go ahead and do that. You can always check out our website, which is at www.gleefulpodcast.com. That got a big redesign in the last couple days and or the last couple weeks, and it's looking pretty sweet. And if for all of your Glee needs, there's a link on our website where you can go to. We have an Amazon store. And if you click on the link and go to the Amazon store, all of the Glee stuff is up there, all the MP3s and the CDs and the DVDs and stuff. And I tried to put up some of the other things that cast members have done that you can download. There's even the actor who plays Puck, Mark Salling, I want to say, or Mark or Matt Salling. Now I'm forgetting. But his band has an album, and they're up there. And if you buy it through that link on our website, we'll get a couple coins, and that would be great because it would kind of help us pay for some of the website costs, because you know a successful podcast apparently is really expensive. We had no idea. So go ahead and check that stuff out, and if there's anything else on there that you would like to see, go ahead and let us know. You can always email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us there. That's pretty much it for me, guys. Jennifer, do you have anything else?
I'm good.
Ed, anything else?
I am good.
Awesome. We will talk to everybody next week with the episode, which is like hairostomy or something. What's it called?
Hairocracy. The study of hair or awesome. Something. No, that's hairology. That would be, I don't know what ography would be.
We will find out when we discuss it next week. Sorry for the break, but we are very excited to be back. For Gleeful, I've been Josh.
And I'm Jen.
And I'm Ed. Oh, I'm Glee. Jazz hands, peace out. And Glee on.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love. I guess I've lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost.
Marcel just suggested that Archie should sing What's New Pussycat. Tom Jones. Awesome.
Defying gravity, and you won't bring me down.